Okay, so yeah, so today I'll do an option. So one option is going to be the shayla I wanted to talk about last night at this program that I didn't end up talking about because I ran out of time, which was a shayla that when I was in Israel, we took a tour of Magen David Adom, and the guy took us to a place where he said, "Oh, this is my favorite place in Mada," and he said, "What's so great about it?" He said, "This is the lactation center of Mada." So I said, "Well, what does that mean?" So he said, "This is where women will send in, they'll donate their own milk, their own breast milk, for other women's babies when their mothers can't provide for them." And so many women were called into the army or were volunteered to go in and left babies at home that need milk and for whatever reason can't take formula or they don't want it, you know, the mothers don't want to give them formula. And we have this chesed that we do. So I said to the guy, I'm curious, like, do you like have a questionnaire if they keep kosher, what level of kosher they keep or anything like that, you know, before they donate milk? And he looked at me like I had two heads and he's like, "What's wrong with you? Why would we have such a questionnaire?" And like, I was with a group of people from my shul and they were like, "Yeah, what's wrong with you, Rabbi? Why would you say that?" And so my shayla is that a reasonable thing that they should maybe be asking on the kosher standards of the women whose milk is being given? So that is shayla number one. So shayla number two, the one I discussed with the counselors earlier today, and we'll see, I guess it will be up to you, was the following. I got an email from a rabbi in Texas. And the rabbi said, "I received the following offer from a woman that I do not know. The offer is that if our shul will display the menorah that her husband paid to have crafted in the Jewish quarter, she'll gift our shul with a $35,000 donation. For our shul, that is no small sum. The problem is that the menorah has 7 branches and it's made out of gold. Any eitzah? Should we take and then change it around? Is that stealing? I don't believe any Chil Hashem will come from her seeing it change because she lives in a different state." So the guy signs it as Chavrusa and friend of my brother. And he said, "Of course, I'm going to send the shayla to your brother. My brother is a much bigger Talmid Chacham than I am, and he's older than me. So he said, I'm going to send it to your brother, but I just thought you'd enjoy the shayla." Okay, so those are the two shaylas. So, okay, all those who want to talk about the lactation and whether you have to worry about the kashrus of the moms. Show of hands. Okay, 2-1. I didn't really speak about it. That's why I didn't really get into it. So okay, so now let's get into it a little bit more. Okay, so let's talk about the milk. So first things first, babies are patur from mitzvahs. It's an important thing to know. Infants are not chayiv in any mitzvahs. A lot of times parents ask, you know, if I have a baby monitor, is it a problem? So it might be a problem, but not the baby's problem. The baby's allowed to cry, right? It's a question whether you're allowed to set up or you're getting hana or whatever, or when you're in the room and you're going to be, and you're going to know that the monitor is on, and you're going to say, "Oh, honey, I ran out of diapers. Can you bring a diaper?" And they're going to hear through the monitor, right? So they have other problems, but babies are not chayiv mitzvahs. But there is a concept called timtum aleih. The Rama writes that even when an infant ingests something that's not kosher, the food has a negative impact on the development of that baby. It's assumed that the food leads to certain negative character traits in the child, and that's going to lead him to violate all sorts of averos when he's older. Because he has these negative character traits, he's going to do all sorts of averos. It's interesting that timtum aleih seems to only apply to food. It doesn't seem to apply to other yisurim. The Netziv in Merom Esada Maseches Chulin points out that Tosis and Gittin Dav Zayin writes that Hashda Behemtim Shel Tzadikim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maybe Takal El Yadam Tzadikim Atzman L'Kol Shekein, that when the Gemara says that even a behemoth of Tzadikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not cause a takala, will not cause something bad to come about, so through a tzaddik nothing bad is ever going to come about, Tosis says that's only by Machalos Asuras, it's only by food, meaning a tzaddik will never be nichshal in putting something not kosher into his mouth. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't allow that to happen to tzaddikim. You have a tzitzit shayla? What is it? What do you? I mean, there's only two corners in it. Oh. But it doesn't. It just goes on the back. Yeah, I think it's fine. Yeah. Okay, that'll be tomorrow's shayla. We'll do funny tzitzit shaylas with. So it's assumed. Oh, by the way, it's not going to be sure tomorrow because in the end they have to go home for Shabbos. So, So it's assumed that the Tosfos writes that that's only when it comes to Macholos Asuros, meaning a tzaddik could be nichshol by doing an avera by accident. There's such a thing as avera b'shogeg. The Sanhedrin HaGadol can make a mistake, right? But to put food into your mouth that's not kosher, so when it comes to that we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never allow that to happen to a tzaddik, even though even and it's true even if there's no isser that's actually being violated. Now, so this is the concept of Timtum Alev. Now, it's interesting. In Shulchan Aruch, the concept of Timtum Alev only comes up with a baby. It's talking about a nursing baby that's drinking the milk of a woman who's eaten non-kosher foods. Right? That the context of Shulchan Aruch is if a mother can't nurse her child and the father needs to get milk from somewhere because it's the father's responsibility to provide food for the child. It's just that normally he's got a wife who is naturally producing it, so it's no big deal. But if she says, I refuse, or if she can't, it's the father's responsibility to pay for it and to arrange that there's food for the kid. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Rama writes, don't get food from a non-Jewish woman who's eating non-kosher food the whole time. Yerucha Shulchan writes in Simon Pei Aleph that he thinks that it's because people are not careful about Macholos Asuros, that's why the younger generation in Navardic in the 80s, he said that's why they're so rebellious, and that's why all these kids are going to parties and whatever, I don't know, whatever they were doing. And, right, that's why they're vaping. So he said it's all because of the non-kosher food that they eat. There's a Tosfos in Chagiga, it quotes from Yerushalmi, that Chagiga Tesvav is the Gemara about Acher. Right? The story of Acher, that he was this big Talmid Chacham, and then he went totally off. So the Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that his mother smelled the fragrance of Avodah Zarah as she was eating, and we know that the sense of smell and the sense of taste are very connected to each other, so it's Ki'ilu, she was tasting Avodah Zarah as she was eating, and that's what, while she was pregnant, and that's what caused her child to have this Netiya to go in that direction. So apparently we take what we ingest extremely, extremely seriously. The Gemara, however, says that it's not only about babies, even though Shulchan Aruch only appears about babies and nursing. The Gemara says anytime you eat non-kosher food, it's a problem of Timtum Alev. That Gemara discusses, in the context of the baby also, but it doesn't only limit it to babies. Now, there is a discussion in the Nos Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch. It's really Machlokas Rishonim. What is it about nursing from a non-Jewish woman that causes the Timtum Alev? Meaning there are two possibilities over here. One possibility is she's eating not kosher, and because she's eating not kosher, that's what comes through the milk. Whatever you are, what you eat. So her milk is what she eats, and therefore the baby's eating not kosher because the baby's eating that which is coming through the mother. What's the other possibility?
She's raising him.
Right, that she herself is not kosher. Meaning, the milk is kosher already because that, but it's her. She's not kosher. Meaning, she's an achris, and the baby shouldn't be. There's some spiritual something that's missing. Both the Shach and the Taz on the side of Yeridaya say that what would be the nafkamina? Let's say a woman. Is a cholosh yesh, a Jewish woman is a cholosh yesh basakana, and she's allowed to eat non-kosher food. She has to. She's mechuyev to eat non-kosher food. Should you allow your baby to nurse from her? Meaning, if it's about that she's the problem, she's not a problem, she's a tzaddikah, she's doing everything right. But if it's about that it's the non-kosher food that's coming through the milk, then it would still be a problem. So they say that even if both the Shach and the Taz on the side of the Shulchan say that even if a woman had permission to eat non-kosher food because her life was in danger, she shouldn't nurse her child after eating it. I once had such a shaila. A woman was in the hospital. She just had a baby, and they delivered her a kosher meal, and along with the kosher meal on the side was a bowl of chicken soup. Right, so she looked at the food in the meal and she was like, "Ugh, I don't want any of this." Chicken soup looked delicious. She ate the chicken soup, and then it occurred to her, "Wait, the chicken soup was separate and it wasn't wrapped and it wasn't." And she asked, and they said, "Oh yeah, that was just the regular chicken soup. We didn't give you the kosher chicken soup." So she had just eaten a bowl of nevela chicken soup, mamish, right? I mean, that's as bad as it's nevela, right? So really, really bad. Tom Kaker, right? So she wanted to know, "Am I allowed to nurse my baby?" Right? That was quick thinking.
Yeah.
Meaning, I know I just ate non-kosher. Am I allowed to nurse my baby? So, meaning, if you say like the Shach, it was b'shogeg, it was ba'onas, it was this, that. But maybe there's a, it's just an issue that you have this problem. You know, the Meshech Chachma writes, Torah allows Jews upon entering Eretz Yisrael to eat non-kosher food. In Chulin Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says that, but immediately warns, "He shomer l'cha petishkach es Hashem asher etziachem Eretz Mitzrayim mibeis avadim." Why? To tell us that even though there may have been a halachic heter to allow you to eat something that normally is non-kosher, it's going to make an impact. It's going to have an effect on you. It seems that that's against the Drasha Saranda. The Ran has a Drasha. Drasha Saranda is a fantastic sefer. It used to be a sefer that was not so accessible in the sense that we had the text, but it was very hard. It's hard to translate and to understand the philosophy behind a lot of what he writes. It's very philosophical work. But now Art Scroll put out a version of Drasha Saranda. The guy who did it, I am to know, is phenomenal. And he did a phenomenal job. So much so that when Rav Yonason Sacks was here in Camp Cayley last summer, he said, guys asked him about using Art Scroll. So he said, you should really work through things on your own, except for Drasha Saranda. That you should use Art Scroll. I mean, not even Luchat Chili, you should use Art Scroll, because you pretty much don't stand a chance on your own. And with Art Scroll, you'll chat. So anyway, in Drasha Saranda, Drasha Yeralev, he says that when a Beis Din paskins that it's mutter to eat a certain food, even if we later find out that the Beis Din was incorrect, if you follow that shita and you ate the food, it's not going to cause any timtum alev. The implication is that it's a function of you doing something wrong, of an act of rebellion, and not of the mitzius of the food. Right? So that Drasha Saranda seems to be a little bit against this concept that the Shach and the Taz, right. Now again, I mentioned before, there's Machlokas Rishonim. What causes timtum alev? Rashi writes that the child tastes all the food that's ingested by the woman who's nursing him in the milk. And the Ritva says that non-Jewish women eat all sorts of insects and other things. And based on that, if a non-Jewish woman were to eat only kosher food, right, based on Rashi, if you can find a non-Jewish woman and you just put her on a strictly kosher diet, then it should be fine. But the Rashba assumes that no, it's not about the halachic consideration of the food. No. It's mitas chasidus, because the uniquely Jewish character traits of rachmanim, baishanim, gomlei chasadim that define a Jew, that comes through in the milk, and that's the character traits that gets passed along. So it would seem from that the problem would even if a non-Jewish woman was put on a strictly kosher diet, you'd still have a problem. It's interesting, in I mentioned last night, the MS Liakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, has a remarkable comment. He says that the source for the iser to feed to nurse from a non-Jewish woman the Bir Grah points to a Rashi on Chumash that Moshe turned down the milk from all the Egyptian women because the same mouth of Peshas and the Dabur Mashchina should not be having from non-Jewish women. So Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, why is that a raya? All it says Peshas and the Dabur Mashchina. Your kid's not going to be with Dabur Mashchina. So is that a raya to anything? So Rabbi Yaakov says, yeah, but you're supposed to raise your child as if he's a Peshas L'Daber Mashkina. Which, L'chorah, if you think about that, it's a little bit of, it's a beautiful, inspiring vart. It's a shtukal apikorsa shavart, no? Because, why do Chazal use that lashon? Peshas L'Daber Mashkina. What does it mean, Peshas? It's referring to, Pe El Pe Adaber Bo, the unique nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. You're probably not supposed to raise your child with the expectation that he'd be Pel Pa'adabrabo, and if you believe that it's possible that he'll be Pel Pa'adabrabo, you're probably an apikoros. Because one of the Ikari Amunah is that only Moshe Rabbeinu had Pel Pa'adabrabo. Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was totally unique. But the Vard is, Rabbi Yaakov is saying that you should raise him to be the kind of tzaddik that would have been Zocha to Pel Pa'adabrabo if that was a possibility. Elamai, it's not a possibility, but you should raise him to be a tzaddik that's... My brother thought that the simpler answer than Rabbi Yaakov's answer is that Chazal's focus on the fact that Peshas L'Daber Mashchina is not explaining why it was wrong for Moshe to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. It's explaining why Hashem intervened and made a miracle that he would refuse the milk. So I thought it was a good vart, my brother said, no? To explain why he wouldn't, why it's wrong. Of course it's wrong, because it's a non-Jewish woman, you know what? But to explain why Hashem would make a miracle to intervene, that he would turn it down, that's Peshas L'Daber Mashchina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I better protect this Peh and make sure that even inadvertently nothing happens. Anyway, so that's Timtum Alev. So what we find is that Poskim are Machmir in both directions. That we're Machmir that it shouldn't come from a non-Jewish woman, and we're Machmir it shouldn't come from non-kosher food. That's what we find in the Shulchan Aruch, the Nosekel, and the Shulchan Aruch, Machmir in both directions. therefore, in the milk bank, l'chora, they should ask a question, right? I mean, they should ask a question. So Jen Early told me last night that they don't ask the question. Jen Early works for Mada also. She's a Mada volunteer. So she said that Bnei Brak has their own milk banks, and the Meir Sharm has their own milk bank. So the people at Mada services aren't the types of people that are going to ask that question anyway. So that's probably why they don't have it as the questionnaire. Okay, maybe. Rav Asher Weiss has more of a philosophical question. He says, Yesh Lachkar. We know that when you eat non-kosher food, it causes Timtum Alev. What's the chicken, what's the egg? We don't know which one came first. But what's the gori, what's the nigra? Meaning, is it that Hashem made an issue, these foods are treif? Once Hashem made them aser, so now they're metamtim asalev. Or is it, these foods are metamtim asalev, so Hashem did us the favor of making them aser for us so that we won't eat those foods that are metamtim asalev? Right? Which one came first? So says Rav Asher, there's a machlokas from Ban and Maharal. That the Ramban writes, Anshe Kodesh Tiyunli, the Pasuk says, is right next to the love of a treifa. He says, because since we're supposed to be Anshe Kodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nistavinu Lifrosh Minama Acholim Hametu'avim Ve'eina Yisurim Klal B'ma Acholim Raktara B'nefesh Shetochal Dvarim Nekiyim Shelo Yolidu Oviv Gassus B'nefesh. The Ramban writes, Hashem asks us from eating certain things because they're bad for you. And not in a physical way, because they're spiritually bad for me. It sounds like the Ramban holds that in the Bria, these are things that are Matamte Mesalev. So Memela, Hashem did us the favor of making them Aser to us, because He doesn't want to be Matamte Marlev. The Maral in Teferis Sol, Paraches, says that you're making a mistake if you think that the Torah Asers Macholos Asuros because it's bad for you. He says it's wrong. The Maral says that they only create a Pagam in our Neshama because they're Aser. And if they weren't us, they wouldn't create a Pagam in our Neshama. What's the Kash of the Maral? And why is Timtum Alev only with Machalos Asuros? It should be with every Yisr. Every Yisr creates a Pagam in your Neshama. So it could be that Timtum Alev means that, yeah, but this physically gets put, you are what you eat. It literally becomes part of you, whereas an Aveira normally is more external to you. Nafkamina would be, what if it's something else that gets in, you know, that becomes part of you? What if it's blood? Right? Should you be makbid if a person needs a blood transfusion to try to get blood only from someone who keeps kosher? Or try to get blood only from a Jewish person? So there's a tshuva, Rav Menashe Klein writes in one of his tshuvas, that yeah, you should try to be makbid about this, if you can. Elamai, you can't. Right? So, okay. I think when Shmuel Rozovsky was in a hospital in Boston, I think he insisted on only getting, Salvechik had to get all the front people in Boston to donate blood, because he insisted on only getting blood from Jews or Shema Torah mitzvahs. So Salvechik had to work on it to do that chesed with him. I once wrote an article on blood donation in Halacha, and the point of the article was that it's an obligation, that a person should do it. And it's, I say Rav Nevinsal would give blood you're only allowed to give once a month, and he would give every single month in Israel. He would try to get, he would do it like Kaseder, to the point where he tried to sneak in a few times 2 weeks after he had previously given, and they said, no, you can't do that, you know, like you're not allowed to, I don't know if that story is true or not, but, you know, they don't say it about me and you, you know. I assume now he's too old to give. I would imagine they wouldn't take his 90-year-old blood, right? I would imagine. But so that would be enough Gemina. Even Maral Luchara agrees that it happens. It's just not the reason for the Yisr. So again, La Halacha, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, Chalav Mitzvahs K'chalav Yisraelis. Halachically, the Ramah says, non-Jewish milk is just as kosher as Jewish milk. U'mikol makom lo yoniku tinok min ha-mitzvahs im efshar b'Yisraelis. But don't do it. T'chalav Mitzvahs metamtei malev v'molod lo tevara. Because it will be metamtei malev. V'chein lo tochal ha-meinakas hafil Yisraelis tvar ma'asurim. And then the Ramah says, and even if you have a Jewish wet nurse, make sure she's keeping kosher. He calls them Mazaglob is a Kanusa. You're not going to see it at first. He'll look like everything's fine. Like Acher was a big Tamil Chacham. Everything was great. But at some point in his older years, it's going to come out. Right? You're going to see the negative traits are going to express themselves. So the Ramah quotes the Rashba's reasoning that the nature of the non-Jewish woman affects the child, but then he also quotes the other opinion. So you see that we're machmir for both opinions. So for the sake of the Chala, it would obviously be mutter. But it's a little bit surprising that that people don't ask that question.
What if it's from a bottle?
I think it's because it comes from her body originally, even though the baby's not nursing directly from the woman. I think it's the same. But it's an amazing shayla, meaning it's an amazing discussion. It's an amazing topic in halacha, because it reflects the idea that our knowledge, that whatever we do, we have to preserve kedusha in our bodies, that we're supposed to make sure that we maintain higher standards of kedusha. And therefore, if that which we ingest in our mouths, that which we see with our eyes should be kadosh, that which we hear should be kadosh. I mean, whatever is coming in, whatever we're ingesting into our bodies has to be kedusha, even if things are mutter. It could have an impact. Sometimes there are things that are mutter and they have an impact on a person. So we have to be careful about these things. Okay.
O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.